All right, everybody, I got my boy Andrew here, and we go straight into it. This is a two-hour show, but we split it up into two parts. You're going to get part one today, and part one comes tomorrow. And if you want an example of what it looks like to be, I think this one is it. But we talked about the exposure retreat that we both co-facilitated. It was his, and I was there to support, and the impact that it had on both of us and how we experienced healing and growth. We talked about reparenting and model and feelings, and then the importance of being present and authentic, especially at in-person events. And then in part two, we talk about being present, fully expressed, new behaviors and things like that that will come. And I'll hit that in that intro. But this is one of my closest brothers, incredible man, incredible entrepreneur. And this is magical. And so without further ado, let's get into the show. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Mind of George Show. If you are listening, you can't see us. If you're watching, you see my dear friend Andrew sitting right next to me. And I am beyond elated for a lot of reasons, but also I think Andrew is going to be potentially the last person as of right now to record in this studio. And don't worry, I'm doing an entire podcast on, just so everybody knows, I'm completely fine. I'm not leaving Montana. I'm not moving. Big breakthrough, though. Apparently, I don't celebrate my wins or share anything with any of you because none of you even knew what my office looked like. So I'm taking that with a grain of salt. But I am incredibly honored and excited. And I just need to give some context because God's put a lot of people in my heart lately. And I just had I don't even have a word in the dictionary. Something absorbent before pleasure that I don't know of being in Helena, Montana with this incredible man, his wife, and some of our incredible dear friends who I got to meet in person. We talked on Instagram, and I will say that I'm so glad it happened that way because I got to be there in service with you. I got to see you for who you are and how you operate, and I just kind of silently fell in love with this man, and I was like, more, and you live up the street from me. Yay! And then I was like, hey, we're unpacking the office. Can you happen to come down and do it in person? And he's like, I'll move mountains, drove through some blizzards today, some snowstorms in beautiful Montana, and got to me here. And so without further ado, I'd like to welcome my dear friend Andrew to the show. Andrew, thanks for coming, man.
I'm glad to be here, man. And yeah, there was no mountains that would stop me today. No. I tried to look at it as an opportunity to see this side of the state in just the raw beauty of winter.
Yeah.
And I got to see a lot of it.
You did. And more winter on the drive here than we've actually had in this valley all winter. I'm sure you noticed it looks like spring here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 44 degrees. There's no snow left in my yard. And I'm like, where did the winter go?
I think the snow's coming. Yeah. I think it followed me here. But I woke up this morning to rain.
Oh, rain at you. Yep.
And I thought that was kind of peculiar.
Yep.
And the rain quickly turned to snow when I got elevation on the drive.
Yep. But
yeah, it was a great drive.
It is a beautiful drive. Mm-hmm. It is a beautiful, beautiful drive. And so, you know, for everybody, just I got to give, if you guys saw at all me posting when we were at that exposure retreat in Helena up the mountain with Dan, Matt, Andrew. Andrew and Matt are who put that on. And Andrew and his wife are absolutely incredible. They have an incredible clothing company called Dude That Lifts, right?
Right.
Dude That Lifts. And then we got the pleasure of like seeing their space, and I got to work out in their gym and just spend, was it 2.5 days, 3 days? I don't even remember at this point.
2.5, 3 days.
Just in deep relationship, deep communion. And I feel like the magic that we all do this together. And so, you know, we'll end up talking about his stuff. We'll give his Instagram. We'll get into it. But, you know, I think for me, I would actually just love, and I haven't even talked about that weekend yet. So I'm just going to start here because you co-facilitated that weekend with two other people who I love dearly, and every one of us, from Maddie and Mike and Kelsey and all of us. Like, it was just pure magic. But what was that weekend like for you? Like, what were some of your big takeaways in like facilitating that, but also being a part of it and it being like a first time? Like, there's so many pieces for you there.
So there's a lot of unpacking to do still. But we went into that weekend looking for discomfort, like an extreme discomfort for people to really like knock their walls down, get vulnerable, find out who they are in here, up here, and then kind of reintroduce them to themselves.
Yeah.
And going into it, I was thinking to myself, like personally, like I'm probably not going to experience the level of discomfort we're putting out there. Right. And I was quickly humbled.
Oh, yeah.
We got a ton of snow. Montana was, like you said, there was not much snow. This is a weird winter. And we were leaning heavily into winter to help us with physical discomfort.
Uh-huh.
There's no snow. Well, we get a ton of snow and ice leading up to this event. And I'm a Montana guy. So I spent the first several hours of it in chains.
Yep.
Dragging RVs, doing everything I could, pulling people out of the ditch.
Next time, I'm coming early because I had everything in my car. I just got there a little too late.
I spent a lot of discomfort underneath my truck in the mud.
Yep.
With chains. But, I mean, it kind of tied everything together. We had, for this particular retreat, we couldn't fit everybody into one house. So we had houses separated by about 30 minutes, complete opposite sides of town, and two shitty roads.
Yeah.
And so... just to fire it off, we had a jackknife trailer and truck at the wrong house.
Yep.
And everybody that was in that house was stuck there.
Yep.
And they were supposed to be over at the other house for dinner. And I showed up there, used some of the, you know, my Montana knowledge, saved the situation, and that gave me instant street cred with everybody at the event. Yep. So I guess that was a blessing in disguise.
Yep.
But the retreat, like diving into it, I knew that everybody would come into it open-minded. I didn't know what level we'd see for walls up around people. I think there was definitely several levels. There were people that were very, very fortified, and there were people that were ready immediately to just get into it, and it was amazing. But everybody at some point in the weekend had that final blast that really opened them up to what was happening. Mm-hmm. And we got to see people for who they are, like, down in their deep in their soul. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I thought about this on the way over here today, and up until I was like 35, I could count in my adult life. So adult to 35, I can count the number of times that I've had a good cry, mm-hmm. like on one hand probably. Mm-hmm. And it's all been grief. Somebody passing away.
Yep.
And from 2020 until now, like there's no measure. Like, I've surrendered myself to be more vulnerable and to feel. And it all happened when I got laid off from my blue-collar job in 2020. You know, blue-collar guys were hard. We've got the walls.
Yep.
And it was amazing to share that with, there's 40 of us there, mostly strangers. Mm-hmm. And to share that with these people on such a deep level, and to have that cry, and to have the laughter and the hugs, man.
The hugs.
So
best hugs ever.
The best.
3 days of the best hugs.
The best. And then, I mean, there was even a point, you know, it was brutal. I'll say brutal is a pretty good word. Beautifully brutal.
Beautiful, brutal. Yeah, I'm taking that. That's alliteration's good.
I mean, on the physical side, we ran people through a gauntlet.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
A lot of discomfort. And I think it was the last night we were there, just like sitting on the couch between two people that were strangers the day before. It was two women. And everybody's just so comfortable, and like looking around at this community that just built over the weekend. You know, I'm sitting between two women, and their husbands here. My wife's here between their husbands. And I just felt like family.
Yep.
It was beautiful. And I'm hooked.
Yep.
I'm hooked.
Yep.
I don't know if I could handle something like that every weekend.
Oh yeah, you can. Oh yeah,
but
you can.
I'm hooked, and I'm just so proud to have been a part of something like that.
Well, I need to say this publicly, because also I've done this for a long time now, and don't think I didn't notice every ounce that I'm about to cry watching you and Mindy the whole time. And I mean this, and I'll say this to everybody here: that event created the catalyst for people in their own right because of how you and your wife showed up, because you were the last one to bed, the first one awake, handled everything, never said a word. Just literally the amount of intentionality and service that you lived in was awe-inspiring, and it was extremely humbling. And I am like honored that I got to witness it.
Thank you.
Because I also know that, like, in that we're all there to support, we're all there to coach. And I think I said this to one of them, I think it might've been Kelsey, after she was like crying to me, and she's like, oh my God, and this, I was like, listen, I'll say this. We serve to get served. That's the, the end of it. Like it just rips me open, and to watch you show up with such resolve and resiliency and tenacity, but also so in your heart and so value driven and focused, not on the details and not whether it's bad or wrong or if it's breaking or not, but just protecting that outcome and being okay with whatever it looked like. Like I was humbled, and I shared many tears of this after, and just, I just wanted to acknowledge you and thank you as well, because I know why that event was so special. And I was living in one of the RVs and I watched you going everywhere. And I was like, I can't ask him for anything right now. And I was like, I'll figure this out. And I was like, okay, because you were literally like the MacGyver, Montana, jack of all trades. And even kudos to like the staff that you had, the chef, my God.
Dude,
I love him.
Yeah.
Like, to, I hope he listens to this. Like, I love him to pieces. And I was like, you assembled like the most magical, every ounce of it. Like, I didn't even know the other house was 45 minutes away until like the second day. And it felt so seamless. And then I started seeing all the pieces come together. And I just thought it was completely perfect. I feel like you even facilitating it was exposure for you. And it was humbling to watch, man. And I just wanted to say that to you publicly.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It came together perfectly.
It always does.
And yeah. I mean, there was a lot of opportunity for it to fall apart, I think. But it came together perfectly. Down to every car I tugged out of the ditch. It was...
Even my car, which was parked. And then someone's like, do you have a Subaru Outback? I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. Yeah. I'm proud of that thing. And they're like, it's not where you parked it. I'm like, oh, we're in Montana. I must not have turned the wheels, and it just like had slid back. And I'm like, might as well just leave it. I'm like, oh, I'll go move it back up there. It was hilarious.
It was great. I wonder what the host thought of, we left the house in perfect condition when we left.
Yep.
Everything was clean. Everything was great. But where we did the exposure section, there were big blocks of ice, and then there were bald spots from heat.
From heat, yeah.
And I just wonder what went through their mind when they walked by. What the hell is this?
I think about that all the time when we do our events, like at the hotels, and like when we're doing breath work or something else, like I have to prep them. I'm like, hey, listen, nobody's dying. Like, everything's okay. I'm like, they're going to be screaming really, really loud. But then you always wonder, like, what's the perspective after?
Right.
So just for context for everybody who maybe didn't see it. So Andrew co-facilitated with our dear friends, which you guys know, Matt and Bonnie, Matt Vincent, not dead yet. And this exposure retreat, and they called me up to support. I'm like, I am in. But we had the setup from setups. We had the participants living in the houses, and then most of us as coaches, speakers, we were cuddling in RVs together, eating Uncrustables at midnight. Yeah. Because you know that's what we do. And then outside of that, we had a trailer that had a sauna in it. Then we had two sweat tents. Mm-hmm. Then we had a couple of cold plunges.
Yep.
And then we operated in the house. We did breath. We did these. We took people on an exposure hike. So the whole point of the event that you and Matt put on was really to look in the mirror and unlock, right? Like, and for those listening, my favorite book, The Comfort Crisis, I talk about all the time, and the term Misogi, like that's where growth happens. And I feel like it was an intentional container that allowed it, but it was fun. Mm-hmm. It was fun would be a good word. The car caravans, the sliding down the road, someone else is stuck. I got them. You take them into my car. Who's got extra bear spray? Wait, we're still hiking. Oh, we're going up here. It was an absolute blast. It was incredible.
There was a lot of leapfrogging vehicles.
Oh my goodness.
Very fortunate to have a few. Yeah. So we were able to just make it work.
And I feel like, I think I even slept in the RV that you might buy from your parents, right?
No, from a buddy.
From a buddy, right?
Yeah.
You're like, how was it? I'm like, it's actually really, really comfy.
Yeah, that was, a good test drive.
It was a good test drive. I was like, hey, we noticed this. This works. This is great. And it was like, just like everything was there. But also like for me, it was so beautiful to be a part of and like even supporting, because I feel all too often I lost in business and life for too long because the details would stop me. Mm-hmm. And get in the way. And it was just this, we're going to keep moving. We're going to figure out as we go. Oh, we'll figure this out. We'll figure this out. We'll figure this out. And it was really just protecting the momentum.
Yeah.
And really staying in. And I'm to even speak to what you said earlier, watching all of us just become family, like in matter of 45 strangers popping into a house, mm-hmm. not really knowing, some coaching, some there, some first time ever coaching, participants first time ever at an event like this, but all with a common goal to support each other and be like, yep, let's do this. Let's stretch, let's grow. And what magic can happen in such a short amount of time. It was, I'm still processing
yeah.
lessons from that event.
It's going to take me a while.
Yeah.
I've tried to just sit down with it And like in morning gratitude,
yep.
I go back to that weekend every day since then.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still trying to process like all the small things, because like I can see the big things pretty clearly. But all those, every conversation had some kind of an impact to it.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone.
Oh, yeah.
With the intentional conversations we had, like there were a lot of walls that broke down.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of energy moving. And I'm trying to just process it the best I can. This is fairly new to me.
Yeah.
As far as first time coaching, this was like the first time I've been at an event in that capacity. You know, I've mentored a lot of people and helped a lot of people with specific things. But showing up to this with nobody having any true expectations except for getting their socks blown off, there's a lot of pivoting and a lot of improv, I think is a good way to put it.
That's a good word.
But just opening up what we could, like having that space with people and holding that space for them really allowed the conversations to go into some pretty incredible places.
Yeah. Yeah. And I haven't done like a download about the event yet. But I've spent a lot of time reflecting, and one of my big takeaways that really tickled my heart is that, you know, I've quote unquote coached people and whatever you would call it, hold space for a while. And, you know, I feel like even I've fallen victim to the trap, but that weekend was such a powerful reminder for me that like the only way to actually serve is to be wide open and getting served at the same time. Because I will say that like I remember sending Ashley, my CEO, a message after, just in tears. And I was in tears for how proud of myself I was, but not because of what I said, but because I left it all out there. Like the conversations that were inspired to be asked to me or conversations I had into was just like this. No, this is all of us. We all have this stuff. We all feel this way. But just to also fully own it and to be in it and be like, we're never advocated from this work. There's no finish line, right?
Right.
And it was very, very humbling. And I've gotten so many messages on Instagram in the last couple of weeks, like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, wait, listen, I spent 40 years of my life to figure out how to feel. I'm going to feel all the time, every time, every which way, and ride that roller coaster. But it was a very, very stark reminder, because I explained it to somebody, I felt like I was living on the North Pole and South Pole at the same time in duality, right? Like there was this like over amounts of love and gratitude and boom. And then I was raw, like just so raw and on both sides of it, but understanding like, this is why we do the work. And I have to look at myself, and I wrote down, I was like, well, this is your gym, right? Like we celebrate the workouts. We celebrate going to the gym and running. We celebrate lifting that weight. And I was like, but this weight in the mirror, right? Like how much bigger can I open my heart? How much bigger can I open my truth? How much more can I relate to my own story and use it as a superpower rather than this label or thing that I was? Mm-hmm. And it was so profound and so beautiful, but I just, it's so interesting because when I was downloading everything, I was like, did I support anybody? Because this feels like this was mine the whole time.
Yeah.
And it really was like I, you know, from being in that interesting seat where we're participating and also coaching, every one of those quote unquote pivots was like a required turn that needed to happen for everybody to have a catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just remnant of so many lessons and so many pieces and so many things. And even on the pod, I say this all the time. I even have a thing, any clarity is good clarity the moment you act on it, but the first bite unlocks the next two or three. And because we were all in compression too, like we couldn't think about 2 days in the future. We're like, oh no, everyone's late, that's jackknife, what's next?
Yeah.
Everyone's well, that's now, oh, George is out of propane, they don't have any heat, that's up. Oh, we're out of fire, boom. Or then we're in breath work and Bonnie's like, we need a fire. I'm like, crap, I gotta go light a fire. And I was like, I can't do this alone. I was like, chef, come here, Montana guy, I'll get the wood. We get, and like I swear to God, we got that fire going 5 minutes before everybody got out there because everything was cold and wet and dry. And I was like, God, but it was so beautiful because it just reminded me of like when you really genuinely are aligned and then you have a clear outcome and you really like stick to it. As long as you hold that, the pieces will fall into mm-hmm. place. And sometimes I forget because of how rocky that roller coaster is sometimes. And I just remind myself to tighten the seatbelt and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think... I think there was a lot of perseverance through the weekend, but like you said, like the way it all just came together was, it was magical. And having, I want to put a little kudos out to the chef too.
Oh yeah. Like, let's
Tristan,
bro.
Tristan and Elwood. Yeah. You guys were amazing. God. We had, well, he just started his, he started his business, his LLC the day before the event.
I told him, I was like, yeah. And my favorite thing, I was like, you season food. Everything was seasoned.
Yeah.
It was salty and it was delicious and it was so good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would have taken much for everybody to be very satisfied, but it was over the top and it was amazing. He went to go pick up his helper the morning of, wrecked his truck. Like I said, we got a bunch of snow, we got a bunch of ice, and he wrecked his truck. And it was drivable, but the box was so smashed he couldn't fit the coolers in the box. So a lesser man would have bailed on the event.
Yep.
And he came through, showed up in a U-Haul. Like, that's what it took.
Yep.
Showed up in a U-Haul that got stuck in a ditch, and it was just one thing after another, but he showed up and did his thing, and that was amazing. Without him, without food, the event would have been awful, right? So I'm very thankful that he had the desire to just, like I said, a lesser man would have bailed, and he made it work. And for that, he will be at our next retreat. Like, he will travel with us. And
this is
going to turn into something for him.
Whatever I can do to support that guy. Yeah. Like, genuinely, like all of it. Because that happened. Then he borrowed your truck. That trailer got stuck. But then him and them are like carrying stuff up the hill and going. And by the way, he's who I called both of them. They were in the middle of cooking dinner. I was like, guys, I need help to get this fire going. They need to release stuff after breath. And so we all were like, all right, you stay in the kitchen. He came out to help me. I was splitting wood with him. We were getting it. Like, it was just this massive team effort all the time. And yeah, they were absolutely incredible. Yeah, he told me that story too. And I just stood in the kitchen and listened so I could keep eating the food before dinner. Everybody, I was like, I'm on break right now. Eating.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Huge shout out to them.
Amazing. I think everybody that was there like for the right reasons.
Yeah.
We might not have known why certain people were there, but it all came out while we were there, and it was beautiful from the top to the bottom.
One of the things that I noticed too, and like I love this, is because like you had referenced this earlier, but like everybody came committed to one thing. But one of the things that I noticed in speaking to everybody and loving hearing it is the one thing they all had in common is that like they were all clear that nobody had their answer. They're like, I'm here to find my answer, right? And that frame was huge. But then also like watching the weekend is like also speaks to the power of like showing up consistently and why we do things and not having agendas too. Because like, I remember some people like the day one, they're like, I have a breakthrough. Like, amazing, right? And then some other people like 3 days post event, it hits them in like a reel, right? And I think it's just so important to plant the seeds and give yourself the opportunity. But also, like I've said this on the podcast, and I went on a pretty big rant at the beginning of the year, and I keep doing this, but like one of the things that fucking drives me nuts is when anybody's like, I have your clarity, I have your plan, follow my path, fuck your system.
Yeah.
There is not a one size fits all. There's a, you can have an outcome, but you get to make it work for you. And it felt like even in the lens of you and Matt and Bonnie and Mindy and you guys facilitating and bringing people in, you guys brought in incredibly aligned people that all kind of shared the same values, which speaks to the testament of the work. And it was just such a beautiful thing to witness. I know I keep going back to it, but I'm just like humbled that I got to be supportive and be a part of it, because it really, really is a testament to you guys. And really holding that space was absolutely huge, because it taught me so many things, so many things. Like even, I'm going to share this. Mike Cross and Love You Bro to Pieces. Mike asked me a couple of questions very timely and very perfectly that like ripped me open, but not to me, more so of like what was happening. And he even asked me about a conversation he had. And he's like, I want to know if I answered this okay. And he shared it all with me, and I broke down in tears. And I was like, no, you answered it perfectly. And I'm so glad she didn't ask me, because I wouldn't have given that answer. I wouldn't have had that answer, and it wouldn't have been there. It wouldn't have been the right thing. And it's just so many humbling lessons of like times raised to think like, oh, I have the answers, or I have no, I don't have any of this figured out, right? Like, I don't have any of this figured out. I just trust my heart in that moment. And it was just loaded with so many incredible people. Like, it felt like every single person was everybody's teammate.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's standing for each other and supporting each other. We're a shared common goal. And I think it comes down to the intentionality and the magic that you guys, you know, created. But as I'm sitting here right now, my heart's tickling, like thinking about each one of these. And there is one thing that I want to share, and I didn't think I was going to talk about this on the podcast, but fuck it.
Let's go.
One of the things that made me cry and really, really hit me really, really hard, it was on the last day we were walking back in the house and somebody left their jacket at your gym, right? And so I handed it to somebody and I was like, can you put this inside for Corey? And then she's like, oh yeah, do you have a minute later? And I was like, oh, totally. And Mike and I were walking in and he's like, what goes through your brain when that happens? And I was like, oh, get ready. And I was like, I thought of every conversation, every word, every person I talked to, wondered if I influenced her the wrong way, if I said something I shouldn't have, if I did something. And he shared a very personal story about a feeling, and I don't know if anybody can resonate with this. And it's like that feeling of like when somebody sends you a text, like your boss or something, like your whole body sinks, right? Like you're just like, rrr. And I broke down in tears. And I was like, that's the feeling I never want anybody to feel. No marketing, no business, no nothing. Like that's the feeling that we have to protect over everything. And without fail, it just came out of me. And I was like, this is why kings have swords, because sometimes in your kingdom, you have to cut people to protect your kingdom, but you have to hold it and stand in front of them to see the damage that it caused. So you always understand how powerful that weapon is and how much you should never really want to use it till the last resort. And that's been the thing that's been in my journal like every day that I've cried on, like to the point where like I don't even want to speak anymore. Like I'm so present to my words, and I just got to see this beautiful container of like 40 people and got met with all these lessons of like, you know, I've said this on the podcast before, I said it there, it's like a student says, I already know, and a master says, thanks for the reminder. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that weekend made me realize that I will be a learning student for the rest of my life. And mm-hmm. the more that I think I know, the more I realize I never will. And I'm just so ready to just be surrendered to whatever shows up, because like I feel like in the state of the world right now and in the state of life and in business, somehow magically, and I don't think it's intentional, I think accidentally, that we just fall into these traps and we get into these boxes and we look at things like business and transactions and we forget on the other side of them, there's people, right? My mom's on the other side of that. Your mom, your wife, your boom. And like those feelings, I think we forget about, and they are so present and apparent for me. And that's the thing that's been tickling me like every day. Like I go to, I'm like, and like the guy who's like never watched his own videos has been watching every video again. I'm like, nope. I can say that different. I can say that better. I can do that. And that was a big part of it for me. Like I'm normally not that quiet on like a weekend, and I was just like observing and listening and contributing when I could. But it was the most beautiful thing to me to witness so many people's breakthroughs and also understand our importance in all of it, but not even as coaches, even as participants and other people in our space. And one of the other things that I noticed is that I loved that like nobody had an agenda for each other, right? It was like, let's meet where you are, mm-hmm. right? If I'm in breakdown, we'll be in breakdown together. If we're in joy, we'll be in joy together. If we're hiking up a mountain and there's frozen snot on our face, then we do it. And if there's someone coming up the rear, we celebrate them. But it was really just this beautiful of like, we're all on our own journey. We're all on our own path, and we all want something different. We all want to be greater. We want to grow. We want to stretch in the lens of those people. But like, there is no one size fits all approach. Like
right.
Everybody gets to be celebrated
yeah.
at every ounce of it, because any progress is incredible progress. And like, that was the most like humbling thing. And I even swear to God, like I took a page out of your book, and I will give you full credit to this, of like the ways I thought in which I supported people, or the ways in which I thought I went the extra mile, or the ways in which I would do things for people or handle the RVs and handle the cars, but then I would have darkness in my heart around it and like forgetting about the outcome or forgetting about what I was committed to and letting the devil get into my brain. And like, bro, I just watched you like just pure love, pure drive, pure values, pure intention. Like, it wasn't even a like, this is broken. It's like before a word came out of my mouth, you were already excitedly like handling it. And I just got to watch you. And I learned so much about how to be a better man, how to be a better father, like how to be a better friend, how to be a support. Like, if I could share some of the messages I sent to Matt and Bonnie, like I was like, I don't even know why I was here to support. I'm like, I felt like I got supported more in learning like how I can show up in the world better. And so like genuinely, man, like, thank you for being you, for operating like you operate. And it had nothing to do with the words, but I watched you all weekend. And that's why I was so excited to have you come down and be on the podcast, because I'm like, whatever you got to say or do, I'm watching and I'm listening. And it was just extremely humbling for me. And so I thank you immensely for that.
Man, my pleasure. Do you edit these?
I do. And for those listening, you get to deal with that pause. And for those watching, that's what two men hugging look like. And I'm keeping that in.
So,
because that was another big theme of the weekend. Actual
hugs are magic.
Hugs are magic.
And I do fully believe in magic. Again, I started believing in magic this year.
Yeah.
I was 37.
Yeah.
37, I started believing in magic again. I stopped believing in magic when I was probably 10 or 11.
I think it was last year for me.
Yeah.
Last year for me.
It was our first retreat. We had Matt and Bonnie up for that, and that's kind of where the magic began. They're a very magical couple.
They are.
A certain level of enchantment that comes with Bonnie.
I've still yet to figure out, like, I have nicknames for, like, all of my friends, right? Like, ways I reference them. Those two, I'm still looking for the label. Like, I'm still looking for the frame in my brain of, like, because, like, Bonnie for me is just like this magical angelic fairy that you never know is there, but like right at the right moment with the right question, the right thought, or even the right, like walking through the kitchen. And I just felt like putting my hand on your back and I'm like, why am I crying right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she could be seen as a sorceress or a witch or a mage, but, the first time I believed in magic again as an adult was during breath with Bonnie at our retreat. And I think that finishing the retreat with breath is the most appropriate way to go out. But I want to go back to your gratitude there. And I think it's important that everybody at the event, and they did know it, but everybody listening that might be curious about what the fuck's going on knows that we don't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
Like at all. And the fact that we all had such profound breakthroughs ourselves at this retreat that we were coaching and mentoring, but yet we felt it as deeply as anybody else there. Like we don't have it all figured out. And we were very transparent about that in the beginning. We just want everybody to see some of the things that we do to help guide us through this. And it was great to have that space with everybody there. I mean, I learned from everybody there too. It was amazing. I have some skill sets that I can handle things. I'm a problem solver. I've always been a problem solver, and almost to a fault where sometimes I have a hard time listening because my mind is immediately like, especially with my wife.
Yeah.
She'll come to me with something and I'm immediately trying to fix it. She's going to love this because I'm going to admit some faults here, but I stop listening and I go into problem solving mode immediately. And a lot of the times she just wants me to listen.
Yep.
And so we're trying to be more intentional with that. And I've caught myself with not just her, but a couple other people. If somebody comes to me with a problem, the first thing I'll ask is, do you want me to listen or do you want advice? And starting the conversation that way has been very beneficial, because if somebody just wants to listen, wants a hug, wants whatever it's going to be, I can do that. Yeah. But I'm programmed to fix. And that's just what I do. So we did breath 2 weeks prior to the event. We had Brandon up for breath.
Yep.
And I'm going to just tear off into men here and how beautiful it is to get men together in a very vulnerable state.
Yes.
We did a women's day and a men's day, and the women went on Saturday. The men went on Sunday. We had Brandon in our house all weekend, and he's such an interesting guy. So interesting. And he's so full of like life and fire and energy and perspective. And the conversations were very deep, powerful, but like so just real. Mm-hmm. And it was great. It was a great conversation, but fuck, I got wrecked like during breath. And my intent for the men, Mindy co-hosted with the women. I didn't want anybody in there. I wanted a very, I don't like the term safe space. It's got a negative connotation with it right now, but I wanted a safe space for women and for men. I didn't want them to feel like, I didn't want it mixed, because I wanted the women to feel and I wanted the men to feel, and I didn't want that integration between the two to like harm that or to have anybody hold back. So they had a wonderful women's day. And then I can only speak for the men's day because that's where I was, but I had 10 blue collar men together, and none of them really knew what to expect. So they came in and we opened it up with some like very uncomfortable exercises, like eye gazing for 5 minutes, staring into, I mean, at the 1 minute mark, that discomfort leaves.
It's like an ice bath, bro.
You can
just
really,
like an ice bath.
You can just really see it. Like the onions start to peel.
Yep.
And I only had one guy there that was a complete stranger to me. He came from Brandon. So him and I, we partnered up for this exercise, and I felt so much like connection just through this eye gazing with this guy, not even saying a word. Yeah. And so that really opened everybody up. And like I said, it's a blue collar group. So everybody's kind of like, what the fuck is going on here? We don't feel this way. We don't feel, period. I don't know how much of your audience is blue collar, but you don't feel. You're a man, you provide, you put food on the table, you bring comfort, peace, protection. That's what you do. You work.
Yep.
And to get these guys together, because I want people to experience what I've been going through in this journey I've been going through for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And man, once we got to the breath portion, like everybody was pretty raw already. Fuck, dude. The energy in that room was something. So I doubled down on emotion for like a 3 week sprint. And it was beautiful. It was amazing. So I'm all in on this magic.
I think the magic is called feelings.
Yeah.
Right. Like I think it's called feelings. Like I came out the same way, right? Out of the Marine Corps, straight into entrepreneurship, straight into every accolade you can ever imagine. They've all been ripped or stripped away from my own lessons and all of it. But it really is like, I'm sure you also noticed too, is like the more in your feelings you are, that drive and fuel source tends to get deeper and deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. When there's that why, but like, I'll never forget like my first men's event with John Wineland, 88 men at Mount Shasta, 12 hours of dyads, bro, like 12 hours of eye gazing in silence. And then the one that broke me, tree pose, like a Tai Chi tree pose, to where you're like in a 3-quarter squat, like you're hugging the trunk of a tree for 5 hours. And the man in front, he was like, oh, you want to quit? You want to quit on that man too? And like what we thought would only go for 20 minutes, we went for 5 hours. None of us could walk the next day. But like the lessons in that of like, when you're held by another man, when you're witnessed in your strength, when you're committed to things together, like we all pushed 8 million miles and eons past our boundaries, but also the gate was the feelings, right? And I'm like, where else do I hold myself back? Because I won't feel. Where else do I not get the depth or the breadth of the full experience? So I don't feel like I will never forget that standing in front of Mount Shasta. He's like, that mountain doesn't give a fuck. It doesn't move. Mm-hmm. That's what a man is, to be a mountain. You might get trampled on. You might get stepped on. Insignificant. Doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but like being there locked eye to eye. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to quit. Oh, I can't. Okay, he's right. And then eventually it's just like the ice bath, right? It's like, okay, I just be present, be present and like fully in those feelings, right? Like, have you noticed now since, I mean, unlocking the magic, but also I even hear like in your tonality and your voice. And just so you know, watching you all weekend, I would say that you have very much intentionally broken that muscle of like do, 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 do. and learning how to harness that of like when, because I watched it with people all weekend. There was no agenda. There was like, I'm in with you. Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. Right. But like, what have you started to notice how like going from somebody who was like blue collar, because blue collar really is do, yeah. Right. Like in ever capacity, it's like, oh, self-sacrifice, doesn't matter how I feel. Boom, boom, boom. Like, have you noticed anything different now, like in having those feelings or being in this work and like even what you produce now or how you see things?
So I still try to keep emotion and decision-making somewhat separate. Mm-hmm. I like to make clear decisions, never based off emotion.
Yep.
But I will feel emotion. If I have a minute to make a decision, I'm going to feel the emotions and see like where I'm at in my heart. Mm-hmm. And let that kind of be the guide. I have seen a very large decrease in anxiety.
Yep.
And rage.
Yeah.
I don't use the word rage lightly. I know I'm wearing a hoodie that says rage.
I can feel
on
that
it,
from you.
But I've got a fucking temper, bro.
Yeah.
I've got a fucking temper. And nobody deserves the shitty side of that temper. Mm-hmm. Nobody in the world deserves to see that side of that. And I used to lose it. And I'd never have like a violent outburst, but the shit that would come out of my mouth had no business being in any conversation that it was in. And getting more in touch with like who I am spiritually and deep in my heart and feeling more of these emotions, I've got no space for that.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's still some times where and it's usually when I'm like really tired.
Yep.
Something goes wrong and I'll throw it, you know, motherfucker, this and that in there. But that's just shitty self-talk. I don't do that to people. And I've not lost my temper on a person in a long time. I've been very intentional with conversation and that's been very powerful. And I've been very intentional with my children mm-hmm. and the conversations I have with them. And I look at how I was brought up and it was pretty disciplined. Obviously there was spanking and stuff back then. I don't think I hold on to any trauma from the way I was raised. Although something that happened with Brandon made me realize maybe a little, don't know where it is, don't know where it came from, but something hit really hard throughout that made me realize, hey, I need to focus on mm-hmm. these years and see kind of what the fuck happened there. But, the conversations I'm able to have with my children now and kind of get them out of that. I don't even know how to describe it. My daughter's got some of that rage and that mm-hmm. fire.
The pattern, the cycle.
Yeah, and trying to get her to, you know, let's just talk this through. Like, you have to talk. We have to talk so we can meet in the middle and talk about how to make things better. And it's been really great. It got kind of muddy there for a little bit with my kids. I think they might have saw dad going soft, so they pushed it to see where this was going. And now that we're all on the same page, like, we have wonderful conversations. Mm-hmm. And there's still some times where it's hard and difficult, but I think the conversation's fucking powerful, man. Yeah. And if we can like lay everything out and have expectations, even with children, that's where it's at. Mm-hmm. Like, I know my parents raised me the best way they could with the data they had.
Yep.
And I don't think they did anything wrong, but I think I've got more data. And that comes from the data they had that came to me and then the stuff I put together. And I think that there's a better way of doing some things. And I'm running with that.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because my son's 7, right? And we talked to his teachers at school because he's in a self-directed outdoor school here. But one of the things he had coming up at school was anger, right? And he would say things in class like, I hate this, I hate this. And I remember that was a pattern. I had the same rage, right? I have 3 scripture statements that everybody on this podcast has heard quite a few times. I'll repeat them because they tie in what you said. But I was talking to Brooke and I was like, well, what do I do, Brooke? And she's like, he doesn't know what they are yet. They don't have a label for him. They don't make sense. I'm like, oh. And she's like, yeah, he has feelings in his body, but because he doesn't know what it is or where it feels like, it only can come out, and anger is the secondary emotion to sadness. And I was like, oh, so what do I do? And she's like, well, you have to model feelings and behaviors. But when he's like that, you have to ask him what it are. And like, I've realized that even in like parenting Branson through this, where it's like the other night at the dinner table, we were talking and I saw his eyes kind of get watering. I was like, hey, are you having a feeling in your body? And he's like, uh-huh. And then I was like, okay, what would you like? He's like, oh, I'd like to take a break, Daddy. I'm like, totally fine, bud. I'm like, do you want to take a break? Or do you want to talk about it with daddy? He's like, I want to talk about it and like work through it. And I realized even in that moment, in that conversation, I was reparenting myself. I was never taught how to have feelings. Like as a Marine, I was like, pain is weakness, leaving the body, right? Yeah. Take some ibuprofen, shut up and get back on the field, right? Like that was the game. And even my whole life. And so even in these moments, I think all too often I forget that the state of the world changes. Everything around us changes. We change every single day. But it's also this like resounding thing of like how, and I'll say this societally is like, don't feel, be numb, be a flatline. And I'm like, no, like it's completely okay to like be on the top of a mountain and 3 seconds later be in the depth of a valley and 7 seconds later be back on top of that mountain. Right. And I forget that like a lot of us, and like even having my son in school now, the conversations coming home, like I wasn't taught any of this. I don't know this. I didn't know how to label this. And like, I think we forget that it's different, but that's been a big part for me in that too, is like, even with my kids, reparenting him. And she's like, well, yeah, but like when he makes a mistake, he gets really upset. And I was like, oh shit. Yep. not anymore. And I was like, she's like, how do I fix it? She's like, you have to model it. So like the other day, like I spilt my coffee everywhere in my old brain, like, and I was like, oopsie. And he looked at me. I'm like, yep, daddy spilled this coffee. I guess I'm going to clean it up. And I'm like, wait, I'm so much happier now. And like blank. And I'm like, oh man. Okay. There's really, really something here. And so the things that you said that just tickled my brain from my journal entries like 3 years ago that I talk about, anxiety is energy lacking clarity, was a big one for me. Because I would always have that anxiousness, that anxiety, and it was just like ruminating, but it was because I wasn't putting it anywhere. I was just like holding on to it. I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't processing it. Another one that tickled a ton, I wrote in my journal years ago, is that my level of healing never had to match my level of trauma, right? And I say that intentionally because you said something, and for everybody listening, I think I'm not certified in this. I just lived my life this way when it comes to trauma, and I'm surrounded by some of the best trauma workers in the world, and that's their life. But trauma, I think, even has a bad name and a bad rap. Like when you got your first school test back and it was a B-, and the teacher gave you a look, that can install an entire life's reaction to like, I need an A+, I need an A+. Like it's all relative. But I think the most important part, and there's a Thich Nhat Hanh quote around this that says, the moment you recognize you are, you no longer are. I think the beautiful thing that I've noticed is I was never taught how to feel. And so I would find these things, I'd find these pockets, and then I wouldn't be able to process them. I held them on like they were baggage and wounds because I couldn't label them. I couldn't say it. But then like the moment you do, you're through it, right? And the reason I say that quote from Thich Nhat Hanh is like, the moment I can even talk about that situation anymore and not have it control my emotions, I'm already through it. I just need a new behavior to put in. And I was stuck for years because I'm like, what's missing? Well, I was just stuck in that energy that wasn't going anywhere, and I didn't know what to do with it. And then I didn't have any tools. I didn't breathe. I didn't go walk. I didn't, you know, go to a rage room. I didn't journal. I didn't do anything. I was like, oh no, stuff this in. And I used to be convinced that that was like the fuel source. I'm like, I'll prove it to everybody. I'll do blank and I'll do. And then, you know, empty gas tank, empty everything else, yeah. And just not there. And it's very prevalent. But yeah, man, holy moly with the kiddos of like immediate. But like, I literally, if you were to be a fly on my wall in my house now, I sound like the biggest, silliest dude ever. I'm like, oopsie, daddy. And like, I lied the other day and I was like, oops, daddy actually said the wrong number. Nope, it's not that one. It's this one. Oopsie. And I was like, this is the best life advice that I could ever get, is to really just be able to like label it. And even understanding now, like it's completely okay to have emotions. Like it's completely okay to feel, right? Like it's one of those things that I don't understand why we've ripped completely away. And yet it's the thing that we all want, is that like beautiful, beautiful feeling. And so many of the things that you say just tickle me so much and resonate because it lands.
I think it's great to, I'm sure your son reminds you a lot of yourself when you were younger. And I see different things in all of my kids that I see myself.
Yeah.
And I think that some of these conversations are really conversations that I needed. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And be a dad.
Yeah.
And have these conversations. talking my daughter through the rage stuff, and it's a daily thing. She's not like having a rage meltdown every day, but it's constant work. And like the last, you asked me how my wife and my kids are when I got here. Mm-hmm. I said, it's been really good. It's been a really good week.
Yep.
I mean, it's a week by week thing, but my kids have woke up happy every day this week, like the last week. And it's been wonderful. The mornings have been great. There's been no like chaos in the house, but I think trying to say the right things that I didn't hear is very important. My oldest son went through a breakup, first love, and he was destroyed. Yeah. And all I could think about was, how did this conversation go with my dad? And it didn't go good.
Nope.
At all. It was, oh, you'll find another one. There's plenty of them out there. Yeah, there's plenty of fish in the sea. But I didn't give a fuck how many fish are in the sea.
Nope.
So I had to relive that moment with my dad. And my dad is a great father.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take anything away from that. He's a great father. But in that moment, he told me everything that I didn't need to hear. So I had to revisit that and try to figure out how I was going to approach that with my son. And I don't know if I had a home run. I just know that I took the data that I have and ran with it.
Well, I think in even hearing you speak, like there's so many things that I hear about of like all the options and abilities we have every single day, whether it's parents, whether it's humans, whether it's entrepreneurs, whether it's anything, to where we have the full ability to control that input and plant that seed, whether it's an old seed or a new seed. And I think about all of those conversations or lack thereof. And even when my daughter, because she'll be 19 next month. And I'm like, oh my God, like I was never prepped for like when she got her period or when mommy was out of town or boom here. But even with my son too, I think the greatest gift that my kids have given me that I'm seeing very crystal clear now, and this even ties into the weekend, is they never want anything except our presence. And I just think about all the times and every conversation, every client conversation, every podcast, every single conversation I've had where that's always the only goal is just to have that level of presence. And yeah. I've realized that I think the real work for me and like why I'm so obsessed with it is that I've been robbed of that so many times because of stories that aren't happening in the moment or aren't here or aren't real. And all they do is influence that thing. And so the other scripture statement that I wrote down in my journal in that season was never allow temporary feelings to create permanent undesirable results. And that was like one of those moments. And just even the little silly traps that I fall into of like, oh, my son's in breakdown, let's fix it. I'm like, or let's just be in it. There is no,
yeah,
another, I don't know what's next.
Can you repeat that?
Which one?
The scripture.
Yeah. Never let temporary feelings create permanent undesirable results. Yeah,
that tickles, man.
Yeah. And that one, that was at the top of my journal for 4 years. 4 years. Navigating. And everybody on the podcast knows Lindsay and I are getting divorced. And just for the record, we live together. We're friends. We're more agreed and aligned than we've ever been and have the right agendas in mind. But I just realized that for all the years that, you know, I've heard like somebody cut you, don't bleed on people. You know, I thought I had it all figured out. And I'll never forget this moment. I was standing in a personal development course and I was like, oh, I'm going to win this too. Right. I was like, hand in the air, got all the answers, got all boom. And she just checked me in front of like 100 people. Lisa Kalman, I love you, girl. All 5'1", 100 pounds of like, bring me to my knees, no matter how big and strong I am. And she looked me dead in the eye and she's like, the only challenge you've never done is you've never turned around and seen the trail of dead bodies behind you. And she's like, because your agendas kill everybody. You don't leave space for anybody. And I was like, my heart broke. Like it was one of the darkest times. Like PTSD felt easy to me in that moment because I'm like, no, in the life that I had, I never wanted to hurt people. But my wounds were bleeding all over everybody because I didn't even have the ability when I'd get triggered or I'd have a feeling to hold. And I was just, I actually haven't talked about this on the show, but I never wanted to hurt anybody. I would never want to put my hands on people. And then I end up in this life where I go from like basically homelessness and my childhood into the Marine Corps for 13 years. And then my rage would be so bad that I would self-harm. And so I've broken my own nose, I've broken my own ribs, black eyes, but it would get to the point where I physically, my body felt like something else was driving. I never want to hurt anybody. So I'd turn it on myself and I'd turn it on myself. And that scripture statement, man, it was a woman, I think it was in Costa Rica after my own ayahuasca experience when I met God. And, she looked me dead in the eyes and she said, your level of healing will never have to match your level of trauma. And I didn't get it. I really, really didn't get it. And then I did get it a couple of years later. And I was so addicted to telling the stories and what it used to be is that I was just bringing it all forward. And I was like bringing these anchors into the present moment. Then you'd ask me a question. I'd run it through 800 anchors. And then I'd make a decision or I'd make a statement or I'd make a comment. And the results were never good because they weren't present. There was that old stuff like bleeding in. And then the results were horrendous, but I was really never present. And just these little moments that I started to pick up and catch where I was like, oh, like we have a model for this called the SOS because it cost me like a couple hundred grand in business as well one day. And it really started to change the game for me. And like Stephen Furtick says, like your joy is your responsibility. Like my emotions, my ability, my be able to handle them and maintain them. And I've even said on the podcast before, like what I find so interesting is that we spend our lives ignoring the one person we're guaranteed to spend the rest of it with, which is ourselves. Yeah. Right. And I couldn't sit still. I couldn't look in a mirror. I couldn't have my phone away. And I had a monk on the podcast, Elp, I love you. And he was in a monastery for 7 years. And he summarized this better than anybody. And he's like, if you can't take a shit without your phone, you don't know what it's like to live. And I was like, tell me that isn't like every answer ever. Right. But like, it was this prison that I was in and I would believe it. And all those things would just create massive pain because I never really was present. I was constantly reacting to something from the past. And I didn't see how, even with the best intentions, but not being fully aligned or fully through it, even with those best intentions, it still caused massive collateral damage to people. And I'm, you know, like you, I don't learn the first time or the second or the third. I wait till I break it all. And I'm like, oh, I guess I got to learn. And that was the one. It was like, I started to really understand the power of like authenticity, like raw, unapologetic authenticity, but not for anybody else. Like just for me.